Praise and thanks be unto the Lord that we believe that this power is still here and that even today it can fill everyone who makes himself fully available for him. Before we pray, I would like to read us a word, just briefly, from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, where we read yesterday already. Today I would like to read verse 30 and 31. Here it says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." I think these are very important statements, and this is not an empty saying, but we know the name of Jesus is above every name. It gives us salvation. It gives us healing. It gives us victory. If it's written here, "and that believing ye might have life through his name, beloved," then the opposite is that if we don't believe in his name, that we have no life. But we don't want to be unbelieving, but we want to believe in his name and in his power, which is still the same today, as we have sung in this precious hymn. Our Lord himself says wonderful words in his prayer in the Gospel of John in chapter 17 from verse 3. "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." These are wonderful words which our Lord has spoken. Beloved, it's important that we recognize him who was sent, who he was, and who he is, and who he will be. And this is no other than Jesus Christ, our Lord. He is God above all. He is Lord above all. That's how Peter says it. And we believe it with all our hearts, that he is the Lord. And for this we are so happy and grateful. In verse 8 it says, "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Beloved, this is something wonderful that the Lord has given here this testimony and expresses it in his prayer. They recognized him, and we know the Lord once asked, "What does the people say who the Son of Man is?" And then we know there were many different opinions, but to Peter it was revealed. And beloved, this is something wonderful that we see that it was not only revealed to Peter, but to his bride in these last days. And brothers and sisters, I believe this is the greatest what has been given to us by his grace. If these things would not be important, then they would not be written here. But it's God's word, and our Lord himself said these words. Therein is eternal life. Do we see what's all about? "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." Oh yes, do we all know him? Oh, this is important. Therein is eternal life, brother, sister, friend, or who you might be, that we know him, that we experience him, that we are joined with him. Otherwise, without him, we cannot exist. We have read it here. "And that believing ye might have life through His name. Brothers and sisters, these are very precious statements. They are precious for eternal life. Therefore, we are so happy and so grateful, and we arrived on this day of Pentecost. And we cannot say that today the Spirit of God must fall, but we wait for it, as those were waiting. And they waited patiently, and they persevered in prayer, until, as we've sung, they were in one accord, not having some other things in their mind, but only focused on the promise which the Lord and Master has given to them. And brothers and sisters, the promise was not only given for them, but for all of us. Or don't we believe this? Most certainly, the promise is given, and we may take it for ourselves. May God bless us also this morning. We are now grateful that we may stand up and together worship. Faithful God, we come in this morning hour, poor and miserable. We can bring nothing. We can take nothing. But Lord, You received Your people. You remembered us, Lord, also in these days. And You know that we can do nothing without You and without Your power. But we wait for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that Your Spirit and Your power may come upon us as in those days, on a Peter, on a John, on all Your ministers whom You have chosen. Lord, we ask for it with a humble heart, and we thank You with all our heart that You addressed Your word to us. And this we believe with all our hearts. And also Your promise we believe. For You did not change. You are still the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore we ask You with a bowed heart, come into our midst. Take all our own imaginations out from us. O Lord, as in those days, the disciples didn't know what they had to do, but Your Spirit helped them. A Philip You helped. You have sent Your angel. You have given instructions. Lord, we ask You, give instruction, Lord. Doesn't matter in which way, whether You send an angel, whether You speak through Your Spirit, but we need it, Lord, more than ever before. Lord, give grace. We stand before You. Lord, You know our hearts. You know for what we are asking You for. Be nigh to us also this morning, and bless Your people, my brothers and sisters, and all who have come, Lord. Help, O Lord. Take everything out from us, Lord. Make something out of us, Lord, according to Your will. My God, we worship You, and we give You the glory. Hallelujah. To Your wonderful name. Amen. From verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And He led them out as far as to Bethany, and He lifted up His hands and blessed them And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. This is a report of an event which has been very dear to me personally for many years. Our Lord did not lay his hands into his bosom when he said farewell to his own. He lifted them up, stretched them forth over his own, and blessed them. And the Holy Scripture says, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. He blesses even today. In blessing, he went up into heaven. In blessing, he abides among his people. In blessing, he will take us home and say, ye are the blessed of my Father. Come and inherit the kingdom. Our Lord blesses his own. This overwhelms me. He didn't put his hands into his pockets. He stretched them forth. He blessed. How they may have felt who watched it, who let themselves be blessed, and then watching it when he was taken from them into glory. Beloved, the message of God comes from the heart of God and penetrates into our hearts. It is nothing for the intellect, nothing for the reasoning, but for the believer who can receive it in his heart. And in this intimate divine love, we are then joined with him. We understand every word which he said rightly. We don't interpret it, but we believe it as he has said it. And if we wanted to refer this scripture fully unto us in these days, then it says here, and ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city until ye be endued with a power from on high. The Lord didn't want that his own go out to work for him. He wanted that they persevere, that they wait until they have been endued with a power from on high. And only then they should go to be able to give true testimony of that what God has done on them. Today, we want to take this word fully to heart, not looking for a way out, and also have no excuse, but say, Lord, now we are in this city, we are here, in your presence gathered. Lift up thy blessing hands over us, your hands which were pierced for us. Lift them up over us. Fulfill your word. Give us of your life, of your spirit, of your power, of your love, of everything what you have. Speak to us. Take dwelling in our hearts. And then we not only have become believers, but we also received power to be witnesses, that the things which we received, that we can also pass it on. The prophets of the Old Testament, in a manifold way, they spoke of it. In Isaiah 45, in verse 8, it says, "Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it." What a wonderful word. "Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together." In the prophet Joel, the Lord also said it and emphasized it in a special way. What was determined and promised for the last days. Joel chapter 3. "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit." This is a promise which the Lord God Himself has given. He will never take it back, but always He will fulfill it, for God stands to His word. What He seeks today are open and empty vessels. Only vessels, Holy Master, but filled with your power, as the German song goes. Vessels who are open before the Lord by faith, who are on the inside ready to receive what God has to give, without own imaginations, without having a finished program. Therein is the big problem. God can entrust us so little because we have a finished concept. And this is then not the concept of God. By faith we wait for the next step which we have to do with God. There is no one who could come telling us that's how the way is until the end. But there are only people who have the faith that God will lead them step by step, and this until the end. But the promise remains, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions." it must be said clearly that at every outpouring of the Holy Spirit, supernatural things worked by the Spirit are manifested, not like a charismatic movement which gets worked up, but it must be worked by the Spirit of God, not as we want it, but as God wants to have it. When I yesterday spoke about that we would like to have a sign from God to strengthen the faith and so that everyone could tune in, then I was reminded on a word which is already written in the last circular letter, Zechariah 10 verse 1. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain and of the former rain. God has right for the beginning and for the end of the plan of salvation, because it's a prophetic part. He firmly determined the things and he put them in order at the time we shall ask for rain, namely at the time of the latter rain. If this, and if today already is the time of the latter rain, then it will fall today. If it isn't, we wait until it comes. One thing is certain, it will come, and we will receive what God has promised to us. Only we want to belong to them who stand in the perfect faith, but who don't want to dictate God what he shall do. But concerning the baptism in the Spirit, so every child of God can today experience the Spirit baptism. And if then God collectively pours out his blessing and rain upon all, as it was then at the beginning and it will be at the end, then we are also grateful for that. This just so that no misunderstanding comes up here. Before I now read on from the New Testament, I would like to actually read that what I wanted to read last night, just briefly, namely from the same sermon. Probably I didn't mention the title last night. A similar we have already. Does God change his mind? But this is a sermon which was preached in another city as the one which is published already. Here it says, but the church consists of them who are born again, who in Christ Jesus have become new creatures. And so we still see that God keeps his word. The church consists of them who are born again. Also this we already dealt with and set forth. At a natural birth must be a natural begetting. A natural seed must be there before new life can be born into this world. At the birth from God, a seed of God must be there, namely the Word of God. And if the divine seed is not there, we can all speak as much as we like. Nothing happens at all. New life will not come forth unless that the divine seed firstly has been laid into our hearts. And hence it explains that so few could be born again? Why so few believers became new men in whom the nature of Jesus could be manifested? It continues, and they found out that they got this great revelations only because a prophet was among them. They had a prophet, someone that led them. It wasn't a man-made system like he was used to, his delegations with him and so forth, his dignitaries. But they had a leader, a divinely called leader. Oh, what a sad day it was when the church world left off the divine leadership of the Holy Ghost and adopted a bishop or anything else to take its place. It was a sad day. The Holy Spirit is to be the leader of the church. He is sent to confirm the word of Jesus Christ, to make the church live as it did live at the beginning. Also, this is a very important statement. What a sad day when the church withdrew from the leading of the Holy Spirit. What was then left to her? An outward, a rigid form, without that the divine life would have remained in her. But now, God has called us out, but we must be preached alive. I use this term on purpose, because sometimes it is being said people were preached to death. I am convinced there where the dead letter is proclaimed, there the people are preached to death, but there where the living word revealed by the Spirit of God is preached, there the people are preached to life by the quickening word of God. Can you say amen to this? Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And may God grant it to all of us by His grace. It goes on here. Now, if God is still calling, then that same promise is for them. And a group of them was sitting up here in California somewhere a few weeks ago, where in real deep sincere prayer, consecrated to God, fasting, and the Holy Ghost fell on the whole bunch, and they began to speak in other tongues. Here Brother Branham refers to a small prayer group which arranged a campaign for Billy Graham, and it was so on their hearts that God may bless. And while they brought this matter into the presence of God, just imagine what a motive they had. And there it happened that the Holy Spirit fell. What was it? The devotion, the open heart, the faith, and the deep longing that God once more may speak and may work. For me, this is of great significance, that I like to read it again. Now, if God is still calling, then that same promise is for them. for you and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." That's how it is written in the book of Acts, chapter 2. This is the original promise. God stands to it still today. As long as he calls, so long the promise is valid. Also this passage I read. "And a group of them was sitting up here in California somewhere a few weeks ago in real, deep, sincere prayer, consecrated to God, fasting, and the Holy Ghost fell on the whole bunch, and they began to speak in other tongues." It goes on. Now we find out here that Moab had this carnal impersonation. I don't know whether we all understand it. There is a parallel. Two things are shown next to each other. There Israel, the true prophet, the true message of God, the true people of God. On the other side, Moab, Balaam, and Balak, and everything what goes with it. Here a comparison is shown. And if in these days some things happen under the sun, what is not according to the word of God, then we should not be impressed by it, let alone be stopped by it. But having the divine program in focus, letting ourselves be placed into it and say, "Lord, what others are doing shall not bother us. We want that you can manifest yourself in our midst, in our lives." Here we see the comparisons, and they apply very, very well for the present time. But God has still a people among the prophetic message for this time goes forth, and there he confirms his word. It continues, "He saw this prophet among Israel that was able to bless, curse, lead, and so forth." So he tries to match it by politics. Now that's just what's taken place in the churches today. They have tried to match it with some kind of a system. You can't do it. All the others can do it. You and I, we cannot imitate it, for we are not ordained to be found in an imitation. We are ordained to receive the original blessings of God, which belong to the original Word of God, receiving them in these last days. And in us should arise such a deep longing so that God can fulfill it. It continues, "The Holy Spirit must be alive in the church always, leading the church for the age that it's living in, to confirm the word that's promised for that age." God spoke the word from the beginning, and so much for this age, and so much for that age, and certain for them age. It always happens just that way. See, the Holy Spirit must be alive in the church to make this church live its day. It must be here today to confirm this Latter-day ministry, Latter-day signs, Latter-day pour out of the Holy Ghost. It's just got to be here to do that. And you cannot get it through the working of systems. God has a system. He is the one who gives us the Holy Spirit. So, the Holy Spirit is given to us for the purpose so that God's promises can be carried out, that they can come to fulfillment through the church, so that a bridge is built from the Word of God to the church, the same Spirit that inspired the Word must be in the church, in order that this divine connection is there, and out of this divine connection from the believers to the Word and from the Word to God, so that everything can circulate like in a divine circuit. What does the prophet Isaiah say? Or God through him? The Word that proceeded out from my mouth will not return void unto me unless it has accomplished for what I have sent it for. The Word of God for this time must accomplish in this time in the people of God that for what it was sent for. Calling out, separation, purification, cleansing, deliverance from all what is not found in the Word of God. This is what matters. This is the first step. But our personal spirit baptism opens unto us personally the access to the fulfillment of the Word of God in our own life. If we speak of the church so globally, then we could submerge somewhere there. But the church consists of individuals, of members. And Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 12, verse 12 and 13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body." This is the Holy Ghost who baptizes us as members into the body of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the necessity of the joining of all members to the body of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, the one goes here and the other goes there. The one believes that, the other believes this. And the Holy Scripture says, "Till we all come into the unity of the faith of the Son of God, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So, we as several members were addressed to us, to every one of us, applies the promise. It continues here. Now we see here that Moses had a king, and that king was God, who anointed him. And Balaam also was under a king, Balak. And it was more like a political setup. Balaam, a prophet of God, he went to Balak for his information. Moses went to God for information. There was the difference. That's how it is even today. And we are grateful every time because we know that Brother Branham was not only a prophet among many, but a prophet sent from God, through whom Bible prophecies were fulfilled in these last days. He was subordinated under God, obligated to God to bring the Word of God in clarity and purity. For this, we are of course thankful to God. It continues here. Yet both of them were prophets. Both were called of God. Both met God. Both talked to God. And both were spirit-filled. Now I come to the main point. They were both spirit-filled men. That is true. The Bible said that God met with Balaam and talked with him. So we notice each one of these prophets, both of them being prophets, men of God. They served their head. Moses served God and Balaam served Balak. Now, today is the day of Pentecost and we remember the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Can we discern this with all soberness? The rain falls on the just and unjust. The sun shines upon the evil and upon the good. The tares receive the same rain as also the wheat. But it depends on what has been sown in the ground. This we emphasized very clearly. And if the Word of God was sown, then I promise you, what man has sown, this he will reap. Did we sow in these days God's holy revealed word? Then it will come forth. Nothing else can come forth. Therefore, nobody needs to be afraid of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that something wrong could come forth. Those who are wrong, they should worry about this. But this is of course the old trick of the enemy. Those who are wrong, them he has wrapped up in such a way that they never think about or ask themselves whether everything is right with them. They don't ask themselves the question of the self-examination, but right on top they jubilate and rejoice and sing, "We are all coming into heaven." But the bright church, the sincere who want to stand their ground before God, they examine themselves, they search themselves, and they say, "Lord, examine my innermost being." And especially during the examination, we have to be careful. For then the enemy comes and says, "Oh, look, you are not the way as you should be. Here is a lack, and there is a lack." Show the enemy his way. Don't give him any room. Place yourself upon the victory ground of Calvary and say, "Lord, I belong to you for time and for eternity. The examination is good, but it may not lead to the point that we despair, but that we come forth victoriously from it by looking on Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. And then we get happy and grateful. And this testifies of the faith which we have. It continues here. Notice here, in typing the spiritual and the natural, how perfect it was. Moses, sent by God in a line of duty, is met and challenged by another man of God. Could you imagine such? Yes, this is where our doubts come in. What use was a prophet to us if he doesn't belong to the people of God at all? If he was not included into the promise at all? God gave the promise at that time via whom? Via Isaac. In thee all descendants shall be blessed. Balaam had no part at all in any promise which God gave to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. What good was it for him that the Lord spoke to him and said, "Don't go"? And we see that he enforced his pig head. And Moses was leading the children of Israel, just as God would tell them where to go. They were led by a pillar of fire. A supernatural being was leading the way. And Moses was getting his information through the Logos. Of course, that went out of God, that pillar of fire, which was the angel of the covenant, which was Christ, the anointed one. And he was getting his message through there and giving it to the children of Israel on the road to a promised land. I think this should almost be enough. Perhaps two or three quotes we could still read. Perhaps I just do it now, briefly, and then we want to seek God in prayer. And if I'm talking to some men of God here, when they try to tell you at the headquarters that the days of miracles is past, and this what we are doing here, and the Lord Jesus is blessing us, and that's a bunch of fanaticism, work up, and emotion, and there is no such a thing as divine healing, get out of that group right there. Get out of it, because it's the word of God being made manifest. They say, there's no such a thing as apostolic days. There's no baptism of the Holy Ghost. That speaking in tongues is nothing to it. Oh, brother, don't you listen to that. There is a many one like Balaam today. So, we as the children of God don't hearken to the arguments of others. And we go one step further. We don't even listen to our own objections, which we have here and there in secret. We are throwing them all overboard because they nourish unbelief in us. We loosen ourselves from all traditional imaginations, and instead we hold fast to the promise which God has given us. If it is being said here of them who claim that the times of the apostles are over, signs and wonders do not exist anymore, spirit baptism speaking in tongues doesn't exist anymore. Dear Brother Branham says, go out from them. And then the special command, oh brother, don't you listen to that. If we have become brothers and sisters in the Lord, then we don't listen to the arguments of them whom the enemy uses to bind us in unbelief. But we listen to the word of God in order to receive the promises of God by faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. O brother, don't you listen to that. There are many today who are like Balaam. Shall I listen to a Balaam who wants to tell me this and that? Or shall I listen to my Lord and Master who gave the promise? It says here, to quieten his conscience, Balaam used an excuse and said, peradventure you stay another night and maybe I will ask God. Maybe he might have changed his mind. Oh, what shall we say to it? The Lord spoke to Balaam and he gave him a clear decision. But he says there to the sent ones, you stay another night and I will ask God again. Beloved, let us not be like Balaam. We don't need to ask God anymore. He answered us already. His first answer at the beginning is his last answer at the end, right or not? It cannot be otherwise. And therein is our faith anchored. It is getting high time that hell and the powers of darkness are shaken and that we remain unshakable on the foundation of the Word of God and realize that God stands by us. It continues, but God, pardon, there's a typing error. I thought we corrected it. Yeah. But God does not change his mind. When God gives us the declaration of the baptism of the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost, that's the way he has to keep it. He did it all through the Bible age. And he will do it at any time when people come on the same basis that he laid back then. If you come believing, repenting, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and believing on God, then God is obligated to fulfill that prescription. Because he's the doctor and he will fulfill it if you will obey it. Also, this applies to this day, which we celebrate today. God does not change his mind. If God gave us on the day of Pentecost the promise for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then he must keep it. How long? Until the end. Until the end. Until the last one has been born into the kingdom of God and has been sealed with the Holy Ghost. And it is even said here, he did it all through the Bible age. And he will do it at any other time. When is the biblical time? When is the acceptable time? When is the day of salvation? Today, this time, this is the day of salvation, the day of grace, the New Testament time of grace. We still live in it today. So, what God does, He does it the same on everyone, from the first to the last. We, as natural parents, we may consciously or unconsciously treat our children a little differently, but certainly not deliberately. God will treat all sons and daughters, from the first to the last, in the same way. The same forgiveness, the same grace, the salvation, the eternal life, the same spirit baptism, everything will be in every way from the first to the last the same. And for this, I'm grateful. So, based upon the Word of God, we have an entitled hope. And not only that, we have a God-given promise that He will fulfill His promise because He has given it to us. It says here, then God is obligated to fulfill that prescription. He is the doctor and He will fulfill it if you will obey it, to repent and to be baptized and to follow the Lord. Then He will do His part and fulfill His word. In the Bible it says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no doctor? Of course it's there. The question is, why then is the daughter of my people in this condition? We have the Bible. We have the doctor. But the chemist does not abide to the prescription of the Bible. That's what it is. You say the days of miracles is past. There is no such a thing as the baptism of the Holy Ghost and all these things. It's nonsense. The Bible is exactly right. God doesn't take back anything He said. The Bible is exactly right. We believe that it doesn't matter. One moment. Perhaps I put on my glasses. The Bible is exactly right. God doesn't take back anything He said. And they try to use a phony way out, something another like, well, we believe that. Well, no matter what you believe, it's what God said. He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He promised this in the last days. Do you believe with all your heart the message for this time? Then you must believe what I have read. And there is no way around it. If God has revealed His word to us, then, as I said last night, only for one wonderful and majestic purpose, that the Spirit of God falls on us, to bring this word of God, which was planted into us, forth unto a new divine life, to make it a divine reality. Also this remark I want to make here. Not convulsive, not distorted, not fanatic, but totally relaxed in the presence of God, rejoicing of the salvation, of the grace, of the forgiveness, and of that what God has done. And in that moment, where we thus thank the Lord for that what was given to us, then He will pour out His Spirit into us. It's of course not that we should make efforts. No, right, this is our mistake. No efforts. An opening before the Lord a thanksgiving from the bottom. O Lord, I thank you that you redeemed me, that you called me by my name, that I may be yours. I thank you for Calvary. I thank you for the forgiveness of my guilt. I thank you that you accepted me. Just make such a chain reaction of thanksgiving to the Lord, and you will see. Suddenly, it's no more you praying in your spirit, but the Spirit of God prays through you. It just flows to you, but only there where people seek the connection with God. Not compulsively praying and asking and begging, the Spirit was poured out. The Spirit is here. There is a balm in Gilead. The doctor is here. The great physician is now here, our dear precious Jesus. For every one of us, that what God promised is available. And I say it once again, without stuff and cramp, without fanaticism, without own efforts, just an worship, a praising for that what God has done for us. And if we say so to the Lord, suddenly, the Holy Spirit turns on. He takes over. He comes upon us. And he starts to speak through us and to manifest himself. I read quickly. The Bible said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, that don't mean in a certain way. That means he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus said in John 14:12, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Is that right? He promised in Mark 16, these signs shall follow them that believe. They say, well, that was just for the apostles. He said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. If they take up serpents or drink deadly things, it would not harm them. If they lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. This is the standard. Did you all listen? This is the standard. The biblical standard. The divine standard. The standard that still applies today. If we have become believers and were equipped with a power from on high, then the Lord, the risen Lord, your and my Redeemer, he wants to manifest himself through the redeemed, namely as the risen one. Whom does he have on earth through whom he can manifest himself? Who believes his resurrection? In whom can the power of the resurrection be manifest? Of course, only in them who rose with him. Hallelujah. And we believe with all our hearts that we were crucified with him, that we died with him, that we were buried with him, that we rose with him unto a new life. I like to say it again. The risen one can manifest his resurrection power only in the believers who rose with him unto a new life. And this we believe. We of course believe that God has pardoned us and that he has given us a new life. Where would we be today? We of course wouldn't be sitting here. We would be somewhere in the world. The Lord has pulled us out from the world. He has put our feet onto the narrow way and turned himself graciously to us. He had mercy on us. But he seeks people through whom he can manifest himself. The Creator manifests himself in the creation, the Redeemer in all the redeemed. And to them, you and I, to them we may belong. For we shall be something for the glory and for the praise of his wonderful grace. When are we? When he can fulfill all the words of the promises which he has given to the church, fulfilling them through the church, then they are justified, then they are confirmed, and we are blessed, right? If God can make the promises true, then we are blessed, for every promise of God has a blessing in itself. It continues, we try to make other standards. We try to qualify the church to what we think God's word is. We can't qualify to the church. We've got to qualify to God. Are we all ready today to really apply God's standard? The standard of the early church, the standard of the time of the apostles. We believe that the end will be like the beginning was. We believe that Jesus Christ is Alpha and Omega, that he is the first and that he is the last. Are we ready to apply this standard? If yes, then God will lead us to repentance. Then we will cry out, Lord, I'm so sorry that you didn't come to your right until now. That we could not yet, for the praise of your glory, serve you in such a way as you intended it. But now we come together in your holy presence, and you will do it. I'm almost finished now, and I want to liken that today. You know, the church has had a three-stage journey, Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. It was a three-stage journey. God gave them a message of justification. Luther hang on to it. Then came sanctification through Wesley. Then the baptism of the Holy Spirit with Pentecost. I tell you, there is one church. There is not one hypocrite in it. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's baptized with the Holy Ghost. You are not persuaded into it. You are born into it by the Holy Spirit. Is this not something wonderful? There is a church. And in Hebrews it says, the church of the firstborn, who are written down in heaven. There is a church in which there is no hypocrite anymore, no unbeliever anymore, no sinner anymore. A church justified, purified, sanctified in the presence of God, washed in the blood of the Lamb, purified by the washing of the Word, sealed with the Holy Spirit. Do we belong? Do I belong to this church? What a mighty statement. There is a church in which there is no hypocrite anymore. This must be a nice church. One heart, one soul. Everyone loves everyone. Everyone understands everyone. Everyone weeps with everyone. Everyone rejoices with everyone. Everyone pulls on the same rope, but please, also at the same end of the rope, not on two different ends. This statement is so important. I tell you, there is a church in which there is no hypocrite. You can trust everyone. Nothing is twisted anymore. Nothing is misunderstood. Nothing is set forth in a different way, just without guile. Blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, in whose spirit there is no guile. People pardoned by God, transformed, born again, having new divine life in them, sealed with the Holy Spirit. We still are humans, but without guile, without hypocrisy, without craftiness, without all these things which cause so much trouble. I didn't say this, but Brother Branham says it here, through the Spirit of God, I tell you, and this you should hear once on the tape, I tell you, with what certainty, with an imperative spoken out, I tell you, there is a church in which there is no hypocrite. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brother, precious sister, I want to be part of it. Really, justified, sanctified, purified, washed by the washing of the Word, being placed into the body of the Lord, who is sinless, which is unrebukable, which is already perfected, which God already saw in Christ as a victorious crowd dressed in white at the sea of glass. To them we shall all belong. Oh, that the Spirit of God would fall today in such a lovely way, that it could work in all of us, making the longing so great that He should satisfy it, because we could not do otherwise but to ask the Lord for it, and He also could not do otherwise but to fulfill it and to give it. A church that's baptized with the Holy Ghost. You are not persuaded into it. You are born into it by the Holy Spirit. This I believe that God has done it with us. Now look, I don't want to criticize. I love you. A genuine, true love always is corrective. We are missing Christ in the church. We are missing Christ amongst our Pentecostal people, our brothers and sisters. There is something wrong. The old-fashioned prayer meetings they used to have all day and night, they don't have them no more, and so forth, and so forth. Here we are told something is wrong. Christ is not with us as He wants to be, as He should be, and we desire it. It continues, we are missing the power that we ought to have, where the big machine ought to be running up and great signs and wonders should take place. This building ought to be sitting so full of the power of God that a sinner couldn't stand here without that the Holy Spirit condemning him right quickly, like it was with Ananias and Sapphira. Such a church Brother Branham desired. Such a biblical church in which the Lord comes to His full right. Now we may ask ourselves, how shall this be? With God, all things are possible. The Holy Spirit will come upon us, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow us. And then, from the divine seed, only something divine can be born. Now, I nevertheless want to ask you something. Were these not precious statements? Did they not apply for the event we are reminded of today in reference to the baptism with the Spirit and fire, to the equipping with the power from on high. The Lord means only well with us. He knows how far we get with our own strength. He not only knows what the songwriter sang, a firm tower is our God. He also knows that with our strength nothing can be done, as a German song goes. The right man fights for us, whom God Himself has chosen. And if you want to know who it is, His name is Jesus Christ. And so we are grateful that He walks before us as the firstborn, as the Son of God, for all sons and daughters of God, for all the firstborn, for all who are born of the Word and Spirit in these last days. I still believe that God will do at the end the greatest and the most glorious. But also this we have heard. It will be a church in which there is no hypocrite anymore, not one with two faces, not one with two tongues, only people with two eyes and two feet, as it is right. It must always be right. And we don't cause so much with two ears as with one tongue. God will take care for everything in a wonderful way. Can you all believe it? Don't be sad. If you would know how well God means with us, how friendly He speaks with us. I feel it from these statements that the love of God urged our dearly beloved brother Branham. He didn't give us a tongue lashing and he didn't preach a criticism sermon. No, he showed the Church of the Lord the way to the completion. And we come there only if the power of God can be manifested in us. And I believe that it will be manifested. Blessed and praised be our Lord, who did already great things in us until now, and who still will do greater things. The best and the most glorious is still to come. God reserved it for Himself until the end, as then at the beginning. The time is now so far spent, and we shall read the scriptures, God willing, this afternoon. You notice, you plan something, and then the Holy Spirit leads. But I'm totally satisfied on my inside. I rest in it, because I know the Lord God, this morning, He has spoken with all of us. Let us please see the necessity of the power of God that can set the mechanism of the church in motion. Let us be put together by the Holy Spirit into one body. And nobody shall say, for what does God want to use me? Precious heart, don't you worry, and no plans. Just be worried to be baptized by God with the Holy Spirit, so that the body of the Lord could become a living organism. No dead body which must be carried, but a living body of which we all are carried. Blessed be the name of the Lord. With healthy feet, healthy eyes, everything healthy on the body of the Lord. Also, this was a question. Is balm in Gilead? Yes. Why is the daughter of my people then not healed? Is there no doctor? Yes, he's here. But the medicine was not taken. Beloved, today we want to take this divine medicine, the power of the Holy Spirit, the power of God, and thank the Lord with all our hearts for it. He means it so deep and so well with all of us. Oh, that we could open ourselves and say, Lord, on this day of Pentecost, we have not come to just hear a sermon about Pentecost. We have come to make this experience with you. Lord, you who you shed your blood for us, give us your life, your spirit, baptize us with spirit and with fire, blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Praise God. Let us all pray. All together, from one mouth, one heart, and one soul. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faithful Lord, worship and honor to your holy name. Your blood-bought multitude is here before your holy presence gathered. We thank you for Calvary, for your suffering and dying. We thank you for the forgiveness, for the grace, for the salvation. You have called us. Hallelujah. We are yours. You redeemed us. You have spoken with us. You have revealed your word and your will unto us. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to his name. O Lord, visit your people in a mighty way with an outpouring of the Spirit. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. Create a loving atmosphere of thanksgiving and of worship. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to you, you the precious Lamb of God. Savior, you have overwhelmed us with your love. Glory to you. Praise and glory. Baptize with the Spirit and fire. You know us. Lord, you see us. We need you. We need your power. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory, and worship. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Lord, come with your Spirit as you came with your word upon us. So come with your Spirit. Make your word alive. Praise, honor, and glory. Praise and glory to your wonderful name. Heavenly Father, with all my heart I thank you that you put up your camp upon this meeting, that you came down to us. Lord our God, we have heard your word and we believe it with all our hearts. Savior, let a fountain break forth in us, which springs up into eternal life. I thank you that you looked at us graciously, and we want that you come to your right in us. We are not outsiders and not people who just want to have your blessings, but such who have a rightful hope and a faith which was given to us from your word. We are your people, heirs of God and co-heirs of Jesus Christ. And we thank you that you have led it in such a way, hallelujah, that we in these days got the precious word of God freshly revealed from your throne. Oh God, especially in this sermon which we dealt with, through your servant and prophet, you swept aside everything that was called doubt. All unclarities were done away with, and you opened our eyes anew, that you will be with the last ones as you were with the first ones, and you will do at the end what you did at the beginning. To you, O God, be the praise and honor and all the glory. I ask you that we all take it seriously. Help us and give us grace, and give even a greater hunger, which you will satisfy. For you have the fullness. Out of your fullness, we want to receive today grace for grace, blessing for blessing from the fullness of your Spirit. To you, O God, be praise, honor, and glory, and worship throughout all eternity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.